Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello everyone. So glad you took the time to join us today. Welcome to Change Radio. I am your host, Miss Rhonda. On Change Radio, we will have educational, intentional, motivational, and inspirational conversations to empower you with steps, exercises, stories, and experiences to take you to the next level of changing your mindset on wealth, health, and wellness, relationships, and more. Get ready for an EduJam party for your mind sessions with me and my special guest. Good morning, good morning. Hello, hello, everyone. I am more than elated to be back on my own radio show, right? I have been gone for a while. I have been doing things necessary, you know, to take care of my family. And I have to thank Ms. Trinace Carter, who hosted my show for me on occasion while I was gone. I thank her very much for that. She did a very good job. And just in case I have prior guests listening, I am currently rescheduling shows, so please watch your emails for your new rescheduled date. I am so much going on with me. I cannot tell you all on this one show. I'm not kidding, especially not with the guests. But I am very elated to announce my latest book launch, which is Execute for Your Vision and Monetize. It is my latest book, and it is available on Amazon.com. It is $15 and packed with invaluable tips and strategies to monetize your gift qualities and talents, full of great information. Also, this book will be coupled with my 2016 Change Your Mind, Change Your Life Women's International Teleconference that takes place on August the 13th. So if you do not get registered, you do not have a chance to win this awesome book. All right? So thank you all for joining me today. I do not take it lightly that you have chosen to spend your time with me on Change Radio with Rhonda. Now, we have an awesome guest this morning. She is a native of St. Louis. Woo-hoo! St. Louis in the house. So I introduce you all to Ms. Jess Wagner. She is going to tell us her story on abuse and the survivorship of abuse. And there's so many types of different abuse and that could affect many of us in various ways. And so people would say, what does this have to do with my business or my mindset? Please believe me, it has everything to do with everything, because it has everything to do with you. So good morning, Ms. Wagner.
Good morning. Good morning, Ms. Rhonda. And thank you for the opportunity of being able to speak this morning. Abuse, as you've stated, it's physical, it's mental, it's spiritual, it's financial, it's more than that, you know. But so many of us don't realize that we are in abusive situations. And what I'm learning about that is, first we must aim, A-I-M, and that's to admit, identify, and morph. But it's so difficult to change because it is a family situation, and you're changing, and you're identifying, and you're processing, and you're coming to a new place in your life. But then you have family, and that is such a burden, but you cannot stop. As I'm learning anyway that you can sing with a choir, but when it comes to healing and overcoming, that's something that only you and Christ Jesus can do. I'm not saying,
yes, ma'am,
you get away from everyone, but you must have a positive relationship with Him, because without Him, I can do nothing.
Yes, ma'am. That's right. So tell us, kind of walk us through your history or your events, if you will, of your personal situation and maybe how it began, how you ended it, how it ended, and how you overcame.
Well, first of all, I grew up in a very poor neighborhood, an only child to a very young girl, and an absent father. With this parent working all the time and making sure that all of my needs were met, and I had what she wanted me to have and some of my wants, I sort of stuck out like a sore thumb, if you understand what I'm saying, in a very poor
mm-hmm.
neighborhood. And so that didn't make for good for me. It was good for her because she was doing what she thought was the correct thing to do. As a help, a maid, as she was at the time, and her getting her information from her employers, whatever they bought for their children, their daughters, she bought for me. And then she took care of all of my clothes, and then she handed them down to a particular family who had two girls in the neighborhood. Well, she didn't realize what she was doing. So in the midst of this, I'm being abused by her because I don't have her presence. I have all
uh-huh.
the presence, but I don't have her. I have things, I have clothes, I have 2 and 3 outfits per holiday, you know, and all during school I could wear the same, a different dress maybe 2 weeks without putting on, I could wear a different dress and not have to wear something that I'd already worn because she was buying and buying and buying. And I say to us, you know, without our parents knowing, we are predisposed to this abuse. Well, here I am in the midst of all of this, no one to talk to because I'm afraid of everyone. And then the children that I frequent with, they saw me as a poor little rich girl, and I saw myself as alone. I had babysitters where I was sexually abused. I was at age 3 when my mother's brother decided to go into the military. She sent me to another community to live with my grandmother. And at the age of 3, I became a sex toy for the neighbor boy next door. Well, I didn't know what that was. I had no imagination, no thoughts, you know, of what that
mm-hmm.
was happening. But I'm 3 years of age, and I'm getting attention. And as I say, we predispose our children to abuse. So then we move on, and I'm back with my mother, and I'm attending school. And as I said, you know, all of these clothes and these toys and all of these things, and then I'm being bullied, and I'm being babysit by, you know, various families. And I reached the age of maybe 60 before I realized that some of these persons would never have had anything to do with me. It was that my mother was paying their mother to babysit me. I noticed as a
right.
child, when their friends came over, you know, they didn't have anything to do with me. But, you know, here I am, as I've learned, rejection was God's protection. I just didn't know it at the time. But anyway, the
different.
Rejection, and then I became pregnant at age 12, and that
oh my.
Was a roller coaster. I had an abortion, and abortions became my way of birth control, and that just kept going on and on, and no one understands how having abortions, how it affects you. No, there's no. Yes.
Before you continue on now, I understand that, you know, you abused through that several years, but once the babies start coming, where do they think the babies were coming from?
You mean my parents? My
Yes, ma'am.
Well, they were taking me to have abortions.
So, I mean, did they think you were just having consensual sex at that early of an age, or you don't know?
This, I believe to my heart, is our problem, the Ferguson problem and the killings and all of that. Parents prior to me and prior to them, they have been abused, but they have just shut down and they don't talk. And they don't realize when you don't talk about what's happened, it happens over and over again. So it was just no talk. Everybody working and building homes and buying cars and doing this. And when I would cry, which was my way of trying to get their attention, all that I heard was, oh, you're just so spoiled rotten, and you're so dumb, stupid, spoiled, nobody's going to like you. My mother was a beautiful young lady. When I was 41 and living in Chicago, a gentleman who had attended school with her here in St. Louis told me, he said, your mother was one of the prettiest black girls in all of St. Louis County, but she was so insecure. And she was. She and her brother and sister abandoned by their parents who were married. And see, this thing just perpetuates itself. You know, it begins and no one is stopping it, you know, because no one knows. They don't know what to say. They don't know what to do. But they know that they have to work to keep a roof over their head. And that's what they do. They think if they're achieving monetarily that they're living. But all of the ghosts of the past, they think is, well, it didn't happen. You know, as sick as I was, I know that they were sick too. And I don't just say my family was sick. There's so many other sick families, and this is why our children are killing each other, because we hadn't been validated. We hadn't been told how precious we are and our personalities and what they see in us, because no one had told them. You know, this hasn't been too long ago, you know, coming from this slavery. And so no one is really out of that mindset. I mean, very few. Those of us who have accepted Christ Jesus and we're learning, you know, our minds are changing. But there are many a pastor who stands in the pulpit, and because they can't control, they'd rather see you out of their church, because they are sick and they have this control attitude and they have this ego. And, you know, it talks in Corinthians where Paul had began his first teaching in Corinth, and it talks about the confusion and the people had money and they had this and they had that, but it was a terrible situation. And then they had a men and women, you know, they were against each other. Well, nothing has changed. It's still the same. And everything that we do, some of us, we want to stay in denial. So what I'm learning is we're either in denial or we're changing and healing. And that's what I chose to do. It was 1979 when I moved to Chicago, and I can sit here and look back and see. I was at a radio station in Indiana. And as we began this morning, the Lord just brought back to my mind, I had forgotten all about that. I've been striving to tell my story for so many years, because I knew if I didn't heal, I couldn't help my children because I had predisposed them to abuse. And then I have three children, 17 grandchildren and 13 great-grandchildren. And I want them to know, you know, I heard recently, you know, most people care about just theirs. The Lord has given me an attitude to care about mine and all others. And I came to the conclusion that I must continue, although it's difficult overcoming. You know, we have a lot of survivors. You know, when I stopped and looked and I was able to hear and see, because now I wasn't reading until I was, 65, because, you know, I was afraid to tell the teacher, you know, what was going on with me. I was afraid at home. And certainly the way the children treated me, I couldn't let them know that I had a problem because they thought I had what was going on. A dear friend said to me when I told her of my situation, she said, "You're lying." And I said, "No, I'm not." She said, "You were the one that was always going, always looking like you were doing what you were doing because you were doing it." But that was what I had to do to stay, keep my sanity. Because if people knew that, what they didn't know and the way they treated me, some wanted to be me, some want to be my daughter. You know, we all have had situations in our lives. We all need to heal. But so many people, instead of taking time and going through this, because it is something to go through healing, because here you find yourself alone. Now, my very aunt that took me to have these various abortions, my mother never took me, my aunt did. She will not speak to me today. She said she would made sure her only daughter never lived like I lived. But I lived through healing and going through these terrible relationships and all of this. And I, in the back of my mind, you know, I kept saying, well, that's my aunt. Why would she treat me the way she does? Why does you spend so much time trying to figure out why your own would treat you the way they do, and then God wakes you up one day and tells you, my dear child, it has nothing to do with you. It's all about her. But she wants you to think it's you. That's why she acts the way she does. So things that happened to her when she was my age or younger, she hasn't dealt with, and she's almost 92 now. But when she sees me, she lights up like a neon sign, and as frail as she is, she gets enough strength to put a look on her face that even the devil would be afraid of. But I am determined that my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, and the other children that come from this, our ancestry, will not go through what I went through. And some of us, I wasn't the only one. Her daughter was raped by family members twice, and I don't even know if she knows it. But when you don't heal, you keep all of that junk inside of you. You have displaced anger. You know, you think because you have achieved, you built homes and you bought cars and you bought furs and you did this and you did that, that you're God's only child. Well, you're working hard. And you're bullying everybody, and you're buying what you want, and you're begging for what you need. That's what you're doing. So if everybody doesn't meet equal up to where you are, and if there's somebody that reminds you of where you are, then you don't want to be around that person. But I continue whenever my great grandchildren are in town, or anything. of the saying, I take them to her because it is my responsibility to share my children with her. I love her. I just know that she needs to heal. And she's not the only one. There are numerous of people in our family that have yet to come to the place of knowing, I have to admit that I'm sick. I have to admit that this alcohol is terrible. I have to identify why I'm sick, and then I have to change. But when you don't want to change because you're looking at everyone else and you're achieving and you're driving these big cars, you know, you're looking at what you see, but you're drowning yourself in alcohol because of your pain. And so me striving to continue to learn the more about just who I am, whose I am, and what I'm supposed to do, it can be a lonely place, but for Christ Jesus, I am determined that my children, one day, I continue to do as I do. At this time, they don't see it the way I see it. But when you know the truth, and the truth is setting me free, the more truth I learn, the freer I become. You stand on that, and you know maybe today they won't understand, but one day they'll say, Mama was just loving us. You know, the same way I got involved with a gentleman, I married their father. I finally got pregnant and decided, well, let me get married, okay, because this will take care of that problem I had. You know, I thought having a child would be okay, and then I would get married because he was willing, he wanted to get married. And so we ended up having three children. And he was abusive, and then I remembered what my mother would say to me so often when I cried and I reached out for help. Oh, you're so dumb, stupid, spoiled, rotten. Ain't nobody gonna like you. And that hurt. And that thing stayed with me and stayed with me. But I knew when I was blessed to gain knowledge of what my mother's concerns and challenges were. They were very similar to my ex-husband. They both were alcoholics. So when I reached out to family care at Highland Center in 78 for a 5-day family care program, and which cost $300, and my ex gave me the $300 because I went to him. I told him, we were divorced. I said, I'm sick. I need help. I need $300. They have a 5-day program. So he gave me that evening, he brought the $300 over, and I went every morning. I took a leave of absence from Sears. I was a custom designer at the time. I took a leave of absence from there, and I went, and there were four of us. I was the only Afro-American. There was a millionaire, another hairstylist, a young Caucasian guy, and myself. And it was so ironic that we all were in the same place. Lack of knowledge of ourself. Mm-hmm. We had no understanding. But thank God, when my mother had her third attack, I had gotten information from Dr. Kendis, who's well known in the field of alcoholism. I don't know if Dr. Kendis is still alive, but he was a wonderful doctor. And I phoned him when my mother had her third situation at work at a hospital, but was put in an ambulance and taken to St. Joseph's. And I didn't go to see her like I normally would. I prayed, and I said, Lord, I said, I need to know how to help my mother. Because I'd come to the conclusion that she and my ex treated me exactly the same. I was the cause of all of their problems. They would beat me, and then they would buy me. And I learned that buying for me was love. No, it's not. But nevertheless, as time went on and my mother had this situation, I phoned Dr. Kendis and I asked him if he would help my mother. But that next morning when I awakened, I went on my appointment at from Sears. And then I went to the hospital because I had prayed and asked God to show me what to do. And so I walked in the hospital after the appointment, and I asked my mother, did she know what her problem was? And she said, yes. She admitted it. I said, wow. Do you want help? She said, yes. I said, okay. I went to the nurse's station, and I introduced myself, and I asked if they would call my mother's physician. And she phoned him, and I asked him if he knew what her problem was. And he started spitting out a lot of medical terms, and I listened quietly. And then he said, I said, my mother is an alcoholic. And he said, well, I'm not her physician. I'm just seeing her while her doctor's on vacation. I said, well, apparently he doesn't know either. This was 1978. So anyway, as the Lord blessed, I phoned Dr. Kendis and asked him if he would take her on as a patient. And he said yes, but she had to be discharged first, you know, from her other doctor. And that's what happened. And my mother went to Highland Center, and it was a 31-day program. And but she almost died. But thank God St. Anthony's Hospital was in right there on the grounds, and they took her there, and she healed from that situation, and she finished those 31 days, and she came home, and she never drank beer again, which was her drink of choice, and I saw her blossoming, and I saw her blooming, and it was just so wonderful to see my mother growing up. And now I'm the mother, and she's the child. But still, I had so much healing to do myself. So after I saw her up, moving, and doing things to get to know herself and to love God and herself, because she was going to church all the time, okay? I've been in church since I was 5 years of age. I left a church at 7 and went to the church. I thought that they understood. Here I am, 7 years of age, and I have a mind thinking, well, I think these people over here, they look kind of prosperous, and I think they know what's going on. They didn't. At 7. But anyway, my mother followed me to that church, and that's where she was buried from. But nevertheless, at this point, my mother said to me one day, she phoned me, and she said, you saved my life. And I didn't.
That is awesome.
Told her I love her. And I knew that we were not living, and I would always say that to my ex. A mind is a terrible thing to waste, and that we weren't
absolutely
living. We were just existing. So then now I move on to present day.
Okay, we have less than a minute, Ms. Wagner.
Our children in Ferguson and St. Louis and all over need to know Christ Jesus. They need to know that's the only way anyone gets to know who they are.
And yes, ma'am.
We have to learn to listen to God's voice, be open and change, and with everything you have the courage to continue to learn and go forth, because they'll say you're crazy. They'll say a lot of things about you. But in the end, you will achieve joy. Joy, not happiness. You can get happy over what you buy. But joy is being able to go through and still keep your head above the water and praise God. Thank you, my dear, for this opportunity.
You are so welcome, Ms. Wagner. Is there any special way people can get in touch with you or contact you?
Well, our number is 314-821-1719. I am available to speak. We've done that several times, and we're looking forward to editing and publishing a book titled So Many Stops Along the Way. And each time something stops me, I remember this is just another stop along the way. And I thank God.
Yes, ma'am. Now, thank you so much, Ms. Wagner, for joining us on Change Radio with Rhonda. It has been an honor to have you as our guest today.
Thank you very much. God bless you all.
All right. Thank you. Be blessed.
You too.
Thank you for everyone who joined in and listened to Change Radio with Rhonda. Today, we are ending up on the episode. And again, I just want to remind you that my latest book, Execute for Your Vision and Monetize, is available on Amazon.com. Also, if you have previously purchased the CD, Business Plus Mindset Equals the Essential Package, you may now order the work as well as the workbook companion as well on Amazon.com. I have lots and lots of products available for you, so please go to my website for more information and to purchase the products that you may need to grow your business or grow your mindset. Again, this is Change Radio with Rhonda. Thank you for listening, and I will see you at the top.